Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Lisa Walters.
And I'm your co-host, Mandy Gibson. Today is Monday, August 22nd, 2016, and this is show number 577. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Amy L. Sullivan, author of When More Is Not Enough. Amy will be sharing with us about her book and giving us 10 ways to love others better from your kitchen table. You can find Amy on her website at amylsullivan.com. On Facebook as Amy L. Sullivan Wright, on Twitter as at Amy L. Sullivan 1, on Instagram as Amy L. Sullivan 1, and on Pinterest as Amy L. Sullivan. Be sure to stay tuned. We've got another great show ahead for you.
If you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. You can comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the rest of the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and be sure to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our Army Wife Talk Radio Show sponsor, TVP MetLife. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smiles and save with TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. You can learn more at MetLife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-METTDP1. Before we move on with our show, Mandy, let's just take a few minutes to catch up. What's been going on in your Army wife life lately?
Well, we've been busy with our in-between PCS time, and we've been doing lots of traveling and visiting family. So we've been everywhere from South Carolina to Kentucky and Ohio and just getting to spend the time with, you know, a lot of our family that's over on the East Coast that we haven't really been able to in the past because we were stationed at Fort Hood in Texas. So it was a little, well, quite a bit longer to travel from Texas to the East Coast. So we're certainly taking advantage of this time off and just visiting and traveling and getting to do and see a lot of things that we've missed out on, you know, living in Texas. So it's been really, really nice.
Wow. So have you gotten to see any, like, landmarks or famous spots in the country?
You know, we haven't really done necessarily any, like, tourist-type stuff just because, you know, my family is in South Carolina and then the rest of our family is in Ohio. So most of the stuff we've already, you know, seen in the areas and everything.
Oh, okay.
But once we make the final drive up to our new duty station in New York, we are going to stop and do, like, Niagara Falls and see some of the things up there. So we will kind of on the latter half, but mostly we've just been spending time with family and going to the zoo with, you know, some of our nephews and things like that and taking, you know, trying to just spend as much time with our families as possible. So it's been nice, and it's been nice to get to see people that we haven't seen in a while and do some of the things that we love about, you know, Ohio and South Carolina and everything. So it's been nice. And
well,
you and your hubby, you guys have been doing some new things lately, right?
Well, yeah, we haven't had, it's been one of those weeks where there's just not a whole lot new going on, which is kind of nice. We do have, my husband does have his big interview that I talked about last time, them. He has that tomorrow. And so we're kind of gearing up for that. But what we have been doing recently, I know, I'm excited.
It's so exciting. Good luck to him. I hope everything goes well.
Oh, thank you. What we have tried to do recently is to take regular date nights.
Okay.
We had been really bad about taking time together, just us. And so we don't, I mean, it's not a big deal. We usually just end up going out to dinner or dessert, and then we usually end up stopping at Walmart or whatever for groceries or needed things on the way home. So it's not raw, exciting dates. But one of the things we have done is I picked up a book called The Love and Respect Experience.
Okay.
And see, because what had been happening is we would spend our time when we were out together talking, but it would most of the time be about the kids or the house or, you know, what we had going on and sort of just business-like. And we really didn't get into some deeper, really good, you know, marriage conversation. And so what this book is it's kind of a thing where you and your spouse read together, just a short little chapter, and then there's questions and conversation starters and things to do throughout the week. And so it's really been, it's kind of focused our conversation on stuff that's really important. And, that kind of thing. So it's really, it's been a good experience. I'm really glad that we were able to, to start doing that.
That sounds really cool. I'll have to check that out. I mean, I know it's so important to just be able to spend that just alone quality time. And like you said, have good conversation. And sometimes, you know, that's hard, especially like you said, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, you're talking about business or work or whatever the case is. So that's a really great idea. I'm glad it's been, you know, helping you, you know, working for you guys, and you guys have been really, you know, enjoying it, it sounds like. That's pretty cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's there's a book that stands by itself called Love and Respect, and then this is kind of it's a resource that goes along with the book.
Okay.
To use as just time that you spend together with your spouse.
That's been really good for us.
The challenge is to find a place, like if you're going out to eat, find a place where it's quiet enough where you can, you know, read together.
Yeah.
And,
that is hard sometimes, because sometimes the places are so loud, even just, you know, normal conversation is hard to have.
Right. Yeah.
That's good.
Well, I know you talked about traveling and stuff before you really settle in. Where is the new duty station, and what are you looking forward to about that one?
Well, our new duty station is going to be in Fort Drum, New York. And, you know, we do love to travel and to experience new things. And so I'm really excited about going and just, you know, we were stationed in at Fort Lee, Virginia, before this, but just for a short period of time. But before that, we were at Fort Hood. And one of the things that I miss about the East Coast is being able to experience all four seasons.
Yes.
Actually, I really only like three of the four seasons. But I miss the spring and fall. Fall especially, you know, when the starts to be a little bit colder and, you know, the leaves changing and just all of those, like, you know, wearing scarves and all of this and things, because, you know, in Texas, you would be sweating on Halloween or, you know, I remember one time when I lived in San Antonio, I was wearing shorts the day before Christmas and was flying back home to Ohio and forgot to bring my coat. And it was, you know, of course, snowing in Ohio.
Right.
You know, I'm looking forward to that, but we finally got our on-post housing. We were on the wait list, and I really wanted to be on, you know, to do on-post housing. So, you know, I think that helped get me excited. We finally have that. We have a place to live. We're not really homeless anymore. And
yeah.
but so I'm really just excited about being able to be on post and experience new things and be able to do a lot of traveling around there. There's so much near there. I've heard just like real in research, just really great places and things to do just throughout the year. And I'm just going to make the best of that and try not to let
the snow get the best of me in the winter, but other than the snow, I am excited.
Yeah. I remember when we were at Fort Hood, one of the things that I so missed was the changing of the colors of leaves and trees, and
yeah,
you don't really get that much there, and that's one of the things I really missed.
Yeah, and I didn't think, you know, I never thought that I would miss that kind of thing, but I am so excited about fall, it's not even funny. So.
Well, that's really cool that you get to experience that this year.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, it looks like it's about time to take a quick break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We know military life can take us lots of places, and we can vote from all of them. Go to fvap.gov and select your state. There, you and your spouse can fill out the FPCA form to register and request your absentee ballots. When your ballot comes, vote and send it back to your local election official, and you're all set. Visit fvap.gov to get started.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
What's hot on AWN this week? In this week's hot blog post, the dreaded orders to Kansas, AWN Experience Corps contributor Mindy shares how others reacted when they received the news they were PCSing to Fort Riley. Many offering their condolences, only part in jest. However, much to Mindy's relief and delight, Kansas offers so much more than just miles of flat, boring prairie. Rich in history, wildlife, and so much more, Mindy gives readers a more detailed list of things to do and see in this area than the post website mentioned. You can read more at armywifenetwork.com/ the dreaded orders to Kansas.
As you know, Army Wife Network recently joined with Military OneClick as a media partner for their Mil Spouse Fest 2016 event at Joint Base Lewis-McChord, Washington. We continue our series of interviews this week by featuring an interview with Maggie Hahn and J.J. Montanaro from USAA. USAA is the presenting sponsor of Mil Spouse Fest 2016 at JBLM. In this clip, Maggie and J.J. are sharing about some of the key things they hope attendees took home with them from the event.
Hey, it's Crystal Niehoff at Mil Spouse Fest 2016 at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. I'm here with USAA representatives today, and Maggie and JJ, tell us a little bit about what you do with USAA and what brought you here today. You want to go first, JJ?
Sure, Crystal. I'm JJ Montanaro. I'm very familiar with Army Wife Network, and I'm a financial planner. Today, I'm lucky enough to be here at JBLM to talk financial basics, and we've got a great group, energetic group of military spouses, and are talking about everything from budgeting to savings, using the TSP in a very fun and engaging way. So for a financial planner to be fun and engaging, this is pretty darn exciting.
And
Maggie?
My name is Maggie Hahn, and I too am with USAA. And part of my job is to really work with the military spouses that are out there across the country, across the world actually, and really working with family advocacy as well. So we are pleased to be here today to not only share financial readiness advice with our audience, but we're also here to network. We're making sure that our military spouses walk out, you know, with a buddy, with a friend, because it's all about creating that network and making sure that you are fully supported with other spouses that are walking in your shoes. So whether you're brand new married or you've been married for 10 years, you have something to give at these type of events, whether it's advice or to glean the best practices from those around you. You cannot find a better location to be than at one of the MilSpouse Fest events. We have two more this year that USAA is sponsoring for the MilSpouse Fest. We are so excited to get out to Washington, D.C., as well as Jacksonville, Florida. So we want everybody to take a look at the MilSpouse Fest. And just make sure that you're out there. You know when they're coming to your location, because we want to come and give you the best of what these ladies have to offer.
Great. Yeah, it's such a cool, creative environment. And what we hear over and over again, and this is the second time we've done this event, is that people leave with a shoulder that they can put their arms around, they can talk to somebody they didn't know before. And so for us, that's really exciting to see that bonding and those relationships form right here at these sorts of events.
Right. Now, one of the things you talked about was financial readiness, preparedness. And one of the fun things you guys did was you played a game of Family Feud. What do you hope that the participants took away from this game?
Hopefully they laughed a little bit. No, it was a Financial Feud. And again, that's a great example of something that's not my idea, somebody else's idea, but it was very fun to execute. But we really tried to drive home. We asked survey questions to Military One Click followers. We used their actual answers on a variety of different topics. What happens if you meet unexpected expenses? How do you save for retirement? All sorts of questions like that. But from a USA's perspective, everything kind of circled back to what we call our core advice. So basic things like spend less than you earn, save for retirement now, have an emergency fund. So we got to deliver those sorts of messages in what I thought was kind of a cool and fun and engaging way.
Right. Absolutely.
And Maggie, you were a military spouse for several years. What financial advice would you give to a current military spouse?
The best piece of advice that I can give, and like you said, I was active duty military spouse for 15 years, and now I'm retired for going on 11 years. And if I would have been able to tell my younger self something, it's save that invisible money as it's coming in. Meaning, if your spouse is on deployment and you have a tax-free lump sum that's coming in every month, don't go out and buy that new wardrobe. Think of it as something that you didn't have yesterday, you're not going to have it tomorrow, and put it away for your future. When you get those promotions, make sure that, you know, you were living on it yesterday without it, so live on it for tomorrow as well. And put that money away. You're thinking about your future, you're thinking about your children's education, you're thinking about things later in life. And sometimes we're so in the moment and we see out there all the things we want. Think about your future first.
That's why I'm hanging out with her. She's pretty.
I love that term, invisible money. Yeah. And that could go for a secondary job.
Absolutely.
You know, extra money that you earn or save. And one of the things we had kind of talked about earlier was savings, that it doesn't have to start big. You know, we think of savings or saving a nest egg, and think of that as being several thousand dollars in the bank overnight.
Yeah.
But it's the little bit here and there that you stash away, $5, $10, and it builds.
I mean, that's what one of the questions that came up is, how much should we have in savings? Well, as a financial planner, we're always talking, or you'll hear us say, 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. And that can really put somebody off, because you say, holy cow, that's a mountain. There's no way I'm going to get to that mountain, so I'm just not even going to try. And when the reality is, if you can scratch out over time $500 or $1,000, guess what? That's going to keep you out of trouble, keep you from having to go to a payday lender, to use a high interest credit card. So if you just had that little bit set aside, it can make a big difference. And then eventually, sure, you can work to that aspirational 3 to 6 months worth of expenses.
Right.
But don't lose heart by looking at that number and thinking it's just way too big.
Right. Well, thank you so much for spending or chatting with me today and just giving us some tips and advice. And thank you for what you do for the military family community.
Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you so much.
A great interview with JJ and Maggie from USAA. Just an interesting little side note, I guess, as they were doing that interview, it started raining on them and they just kept right on tape, and then they just did the whole interview right through the rain. Typical of Washington State. Well, the AWN team had so much fun participating in the event at JBLM. We have just a few more interviews to share with you, so be sure to tune in each week so you don't miss them. Moving on to our next segment now. Mandy, tell us all about this week's PSA.
Well, last but not least, it is public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We do limit them to one per show and ask for them 10 days in advance. So send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. Non-medical counseling, what it is and how it can help. The Military OneSource and Family and Military Family Life Counseling programs offer non-medical counseling to help service members and their families navigate military life and the challenges it sometimes presents. With the confidential, free support of a qualified counselor, you can get help working through these topics like marital problems, relationship at school or work, parenting, stress management, adjustment difficulties, grief and loss, and other emotional and interpersonal issues. Call Military OneSource and Military Family Life Counseling at 800-342-9647 to get started with non-medical counseling. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is our new 6th Gen, bringing you the need-to-know story. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE Dental Coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE Medical Program options do not include TRICARE Dental Coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP-1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
A recent study found that tens of thousands of combat helmets made by prison inmates were defective. The U.S. military's iconic advanced combat helmet that has seen combat for over a decade has been manufactured by an unlikely source, America's prison inmates. Though the origin of this life-saving equipment may not be reason for concern, the processes of checks to ensure the integrity of each helmet should be, which is why a recent investigation from the Washington Post is cause for worry. The Post investigation revealed that a settlement of $3 million for defective helmets was reached between the Department of Justice and Armor Source, an Ohio-based corporation that develops and manufactures ballistic helmets for military and law enforcement personnel. The official DOJ report that was released on Wednesday states that in 2006, the U.S. Army approved a $30 million contract with Armor Source to manufacture the ACH for soldiers. After winning the contract, Federal Prison Industries, a corporation that provides services and products made by federal inmates through a correctional program, was subcontracted from Armor Source to begin production. FPI then began production of these faulty helmets that were found to have degraded armor, which in turn failed ballistics testing standards. A total of 44,000 of these helmets, many of which were already seeing use in Afghanistan, were recalled in 2010 by the Army. It is estimated that a total of 126,000 helmets were eventually recalled, equating to a $19.1 million loss. The investigation revealed that the helmets were scrutinized after finding them to be constructed using unauthorized or degraded materials that attributed to the helmet's deformities. Specifically, part of the combat helmet were merely filled with dust and fragments of Kevlar, and many of the helmet's serial numbers were altered or changed. The Inspector General also found that there was a lapse in operational procedures that were directly attributable to the Department of Defense. The Defense Contract Management Agency, a DOD-operated component that works with contractors to ensure that supplies and services are properly handled, was discovered to have lacked the proper training to conduct an inspection of the helmets. Despite this insufficiency, inspectors submitted false reports that purported to have conducted these reviews. According to the Post, no charges against Armor Source or FPI were filed by federal prosecutors. Having recently won another contract with the U.S. Marine Corps for an order of 10,000 units, Armor Source still remains a manufacturer of the military's helmets today. Army Secretary Eric Fanning is promoting the importance of mental health for troops. Army Secretary Eric Fanning says the Army is paying more attention to behavioral health and making sure anyone who is injured while defending the nation gets the treatment they need. The Army and other military branches are conducting research into how military deployment affects anger, and they are encouraging mental health treatment before deployment to mitigate the effects of anger after soldiers return, he said. Fanning told the Associated Press in July that he was concerned about two recent mass shootings involving military veterans, but he said the research doesn't show any cause and effect between military service and what happens after soldiers leave the armed forces. There is no data that suggests veterans as a whole are more likely to commit crimes, said Major Chris Opphart, public affairs officer for the Secretary of the Army. Fanning spent the latter part of July touring military bases throughout the Pacific region, including a stop at Tripler Army Medical Center in Honolulu, where he met with doctors who treat men and women for issues like post-traumatic stress disorder. Research was showing these are things we can do in advance to lay the groundwork before the deployment and after the deployment, Fanning said. This would be a new way of looking at the anger issue that we haven't done before. Fanning wants to look at the stigma, he said, still exists about behavioral health. Seeking help is a sign of strength, not a sign of weakness, he said. The brain is the most complicated organ in the body, and we go to specialists for everything else, Fanning said. Why wouldn't we encourage people to seek specialists for any type of behavioral issues that they're having? A U.S. soldier has won a bronze medal in men's pole vaulting at the Rio Olympics. U.S. Army 2nd Lieutenant Sam Kendricks won the bronze medal in men's pole vaulting Monday night. The 23-year-old cleared a height of 19 feet, 2.3 inches in order to clinch the third-place medal. Kendricks has competed in track and field since high school. He loved running relays, but pole vaulting was his strength. He competed for the University of Mississippi, where he also joined the Army ROTC. He graduated last year as a 2nd Lieutenant. After the Olympics, he is scheduled to attend the Basic Officer Leadership Course at Fort Lee in Virginia. He is currently in the Army Reserve with the 655th Transportation Company in Millington, Tennessee. He also plans to continue with full-time pole vaulting training. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen, signing off.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Walters.
And I'm your co-host, Mandy Gibson. Tonight we have with us Amy L. Sullivan, author of When More Is Not Enough. For the past 5 years, Amy L. Sullivan looked harder, loved stronger, and discovered more by fixing her gaze on someone other than the person staring back at her in the mirror. Amy writes for oodles of print and online publications and loves speaking with groups of any size.
Amy has a background in education, and when she isn't writing, she facilitates leadership classes. Amy lives in the mountains of North Carolina with her handsome husband, two daughters, naughty dog, and lazy cat. Tonight, she's sharing with us about her book and will give us 10 ways to love others better from your kitchen table. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hey, Mandy and Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
well,
we're
so
glad
good
that
here.
You're joining us. Well, Amy, tell us a little bit about where you're calling from and your background as a mom and a writer.
Okay. Well, I am calling from the Blue Ridge Mountains in western North Carolina, and if you haven't been out this way, they really do look blue. I married my high school prom date, even though he was an hour late to pick me up for prom. And we have been married for almost 17 years. He's not late anymore, though. Now it's funny because he's the one who's always on time. I have two daughters. One is 7 and one is 14. And as for my background as a writer, I've always loved to write. I can remember even before I knew how to spell, I used to rally just neighborhood kids into my little clubhouse and force them to listen to these stories I had written. But because I didn't, you know, I didn't really know how to spell or put anything together, it was basically them just listening to me talk. And I would charge them admission. And so they would have to pay me a nickel to come into the clubhouse to listen to me talk. But I think that's what started my love of writing and for stories. And so I started writing for just different local magazines and different publications in about 2008. And then about 4 years later, I started writing with the intent to publish.
That's really awesome. Wow. Man, I wish I would have thought of that when I was younger to charge my friends to come over and listen to me talk, although I don't know if anybody would have paid to do that.
I can't believe they did. I think it's part of my bossiness, collecting the nickels at the door.
I feel you there. I might have gotten away with it. Well, where did the idea of serving others from your kitchen table come from?
You know, the idea came from my mom. Growing up, there was a lot of transition and instability in our home. And really, we struggled a lot financially. However, my mom, she was always adamant that we weren't poor. She always told us we weren't poor. We were just broke. And we were way better off than some people. And so she always made it a point to help others and love others and just engage with people, even though we were probably the ones who could have been on the receiving end of that help.
Wow. It sounds like she was a great example to
Oh, my gosh. She is. She is. She still is. Even now she's retired and she has done Meals on Wheels forever. She knows every one of her neighbors. If you walk in her neighborhood, you know, she doesn't just know their names. She knows the stories behind all of them and what's happening with their kids and what their grandkids' names are. And so, it definitely was an inspiration for me.
Wow. So is serving from the kitchen table, is that where you got the idea for your book, When More Is Not Enough?
So you would think, because she is so generous, that that's where it would come from. But no, it actually came from a Christmas experience, this post-Christmas experience. And when people read the title, and maybe because they see the cover and it has a little boy on the cover, they think, oh, this, you know, just must be for kids. You know, working with kids and teaching them when more is enough and how to be satisfied with what you have. But really, it started with my husband and myself. And it was just a few days after Christmas. And, you know, we were at the after Christmas sales as if we didn't have, you know, enough already. And our pockets were full of, you know, a gift card here and cash, you know, from a different relative there. And we really didn't see anything wrong with it. We were kind of just like living in this fog of just self-consumption. And we had gone into this little artsy store. And it was a few years ago, but and they're really popular now. But you could take a letter. And people would take photographs of different objects shaped like a letter, like it might be, you know, an arch, and that would be a U, or a circular sculpture, and that would be an O. But you could spell out different things with these photographs. And so I had told my husband, oh, this is what we need. This is so cute and artsy, and we need something to hang in our house. And so we were saying, what would describe us? What would be like really describe who we are? And so we thought, and finally, my husband said, ours, O-U-R-S, ours, that describes who we are. And I thought, oh, this is such a great idea. The word ours, we'll spell it out and hang it in our house. And so we did. We bought those letters and we framed them and we hung them up. And I looked at it on the wall and I thought, oh, my gosh, we are really probably the most selfish people I know. And it wasn't because we had money, you know, we're middle class, but it was because our attitudes were just focused on the next thing.
Yeah,
wow.
That's very interesting how, you know, you kind of, I've done that sometimes too, is you just kind of sit back and you think about something like, wow, you know, I really should have thought about that differently, or, you know, I feel like that was really self-centered. And I know that, you know, being other-centered seems to be a focus of quite you know, a few books over the last few years. So how is your book different, and how is it applicable for families in the military?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, within the last few years, there have been countless. I mean, I can think of probably 10 off the top of my head books that have come out about generosity or serving or fighting entitlement. And I think that's great. I think we are moving to a different mindset with ourselves and with our kids. But when I wrote this, there weren't a lot of books that gave real and tangible ways to get involved and serve others. Most of what was out there contained theories, or some of it were stories about, you know, people who had maybe sold everything and left their home and, you know, they moved to a different continent and adopted children, or, you know, were digging wells or doing big things with mosquito nets. But there wasn't anything out there just for the average family. You know, here we are, this family of four in this little community in North Carolina. Like, what can we really do to teach our kids to engage in their world better, you know, and to teach us the same thing. And so as far as how is it applicable for families in the military, I think because this book frames loving others and being generous with others in new ways, it's not the same just, you know, give money or spend time or make a card, but it frames different attitudes, like, for example, being generous with forgiveness, or being generous with your skills and talents. Because it's framed that way, it's not just an activity that needs to be done in one place. It can be done anywhere, and it can be done with any amount of resources that you have. So when I wrote it, it was really important that if somebody picked it up in California or in Canada, they would still be able to get something out of it. And so I'm hoping that it's the same for the military families that read it.
Well, it sounds like it would be great, because, you know, obviously with families moving all over the place for the military,
to be able to have things that you can do no matter where you are or what environment you live in would be really, really helpful. And I know my brother-in-law, he works with teenagers, and he said one time that the best way to fight that entitlement mindset is to get kids involved in serving others.
Absolutely.
So I know it's a proven way of kind of breaking that that mindset.
Well, even though I think we don't mean to, we associate ourselves with people who are similar than us. You know, we have the same hobbies and the same interests. And I think when we do that over a period of time, all of a sudden we look up and there isn't anybody different. No, we don't see anybody with issues that are different than the ones we have. And so I think by broadening it and expanding, just like you said, about doing things with the teenagers, I think if we are showing our kids different people groups, they're definitely going to benefit from that.
Right. Well, I know proceeds from your book are being donated. Can you tell us about where the money you make from the book is going?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have a publisher and an agent, so they do get a cut of that. But everything I make is going to a place called Transformation Village, and it's a proposed housing development in western North Carolina specifically for female veterans, women, children, and then intact families. Right now, there are places for women and children, and there are places for men who need assistance, but there isn't really anywhere for families. And that's especially a problem if you have a son who's over the age of 12, because if you have a son who's over the age of 12 and you are in need of housing, he cannot come with you. He can't go to a woman's facility because he's too old, and he can't go to the men's facility because he's too young. And so Transformation Village would be a place where families can come and get on their feet.
Wow. And are you able to be involved with them personally? Like, are they in the same area as you are?
They are. And that's been really fun. Because our family has done volunteer work with them, it's been really a good experience to get to know some of the people who have lived. And right now, Transformation Village is just proposed. But there's another place that that houses these women who would eventually live there. They don't house the families yet, but just the women. And so we go in the evenings when women are taking classes, and my oldest daughter and I will babysit some of the kids who live there. And so it's fun for us to get to know the families and get to know their names and just them, their stories on a whole different level. And yes, it's very close. It's like 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's exciting. It makes it so much more, I don't know if real is the right word, but when you're involved with any kind of an organization and you're not just giving financial means to them, but you're actually there and involved and around the people that are being helped, it just makes it so, it gives it such a depth, I guess, that you can't experience any other way.
Well, I completely agree, because it's easy for me. I mean, even though we may not have the money to write the check, that part is easy. But to give up your time and to actually show up somewhere, you know, and get to know these people, it does make it more real and more important and just something that's closer to your heart.
Right. And have you noticed how that affects your kids?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. My kids have gone from... at one point, you know, initially when I first started writing this, when we were talking about making food bags for somebody once, like packing backpacks full of canned goods and things like this. And she said, I don't even know anybody who would eat this. Who does not have enough food for the weekend? And it was pretty eye-opening for us that we had built this safe world for her, but we had forgotten to tell her about important lessons in life. And so now... she gets to meet people who really are in need, and she gets to meet other kids who say, you know, my dad's in jail and his court date is coming up. And that's something she's never experienced before. And so, you know, it's absolutely true what they say about when you do something or when you volunteer, when you give, you're actually the one receiving, because I feel like we have received and received and received from these people already. And it's just by showing up.
Wow. Well, Amy, we do have to take a quick break. But when we come back, let's talk about some practical ways to love others from our kitchen table.
Okay, sounds perfect.
And listeners, all right. Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guests by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Make sure to click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Are you looking for a new career but don't qualify for MyCAA funding? CareerStep can help. They have partnerships, scholarships, and other funding sources that provide military service members, veterans, spouses, and other family members with career training programs for as little as $180. CareerStep's flexible online programs allow you to complete your coursework at your own pace, when it fits your schedule. Choose from a number of in-demand careers like pharmacy technician or medical coding and billing. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
It's time for our kids to go back to school, and that creates some stress around here. We have to get out of the vacation mindset. There's anxiety about new classes, new teachers, and new kids in class. Here are three ways that we deal with it as a family. Number one, talk about it all, everything that's going to happen, and share stories from your childhood. Number two, establish new routines and share your schedule with everybody. Make sure you, your kids, and your spouse all share the same schedule. A couple things that we do at our house that help us. Kids prepare their own lunches. Kids do their own laundry, and they have for quite a while, and that parents check homework. Number three, we have a celebration dinner beforehand, and we set expectations that it's going to be a successful year. If you don't have kids, offer to help someone who does. Believe me, it will be appreciated. If you do these things, your kids will be better, your spouse will be better, and your marriage will be better. This is Certified Relationship Coach Kevin Decker, and you're listening to the Relationship Minute on the Army Wife Network. If you need help and you have relationship questions, you can reach me by email using kevin@kevindecker.com. I look forward to hearing from you.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Amy L. Sullivan, author of When More Is Not Enough. Before we went to break, Amy was sharing with us how the idea of serving others from her kitchen table was born. Amy, will you share some practical ways we can love others from our kitchen table?
Sure. So the idea of loving from your kitchen table is just loving from your own house. And so I spoke a little bit in the last segment about just trying to frame that a little bit differently. And so in my book, When More Is Not Enough, it's divided up into chapters. And so one of the first chapters is being generous with your skills. And then it goes on to being generous with strangers, forgiveness, time, prayer, money. But within each chapter, it talks about using what you have right then. So, for example, in the Generous with Skills chapter, I talk about how when I was in sixth grade, I really wanted to be one of the cool kids and be up on the stage for the talent show lip syncing. And so my friends and I, we all put together this big dance routine where we were lip syncing on the stage. But in the end, it was pretty fake because it was just some music blaring from a little Jambox and, you know, some girls who didn't really know the dance moves because we weren't really doing anything with our real skills, you know, the talents that we had. And so that particular chapter encourages people just to seek out the things that they are already good at. And even if it's something small that you think other people won't appreciate, you know, for example, if you're organized, using that organization for something, or if you're a crafter, there are tons of organizations that take handmade crafts and use those to give to people. And so it really just lets you or pushes you to focus on what you already have within you and within your home.
Those are some really interesting ways and great creative ways to really kind of get involved and share that. I mean, I need to have a dance party, I think, soon. I think that's what I need to do, too. That was a great idea.
Well, I don't know how great it turned out on stage, but I think a lot of times it's easier for us to see what other people are good at, and so we dismiss what we actually have to offer. And so that particular chapter on skills just encourages us to do that. And then the one on forgiveness, I had never thought of forgiveness as being a way to be generous with people or to love people. And that was a hard chapter for me to write because I'm not forgiving. That's not something that's easy for me. But again, that's something that we can do right where we are, right at our table, right in our home.
Isn't that the truth though? I mean, if you really think about it, forgiveness should be one of the easiest things that happens, but it is so hard for so many of us. So that's a really good point that you bring that up.
Painfully hard.
Oh yes, I'm very stubborn too, so I understand. But it is. It's one of the easiest ways, and probably one of the really most heartfelt ways because a lot of people understand that to get forgiveness. I think people appreciate that too.
Right.
Can you share with us some of your favorite resources you mentioned in your book?
Sure. So the book is filled with resources, and I always tell people if it's not bent up and crumpled up when I see it, then I feel like you haven't used it because it's meant to be interacted with quite a bit. So at the beginning of the book, there's a survey, and there's one for adults, and then a teen version, and then a child version. And it asks you just some basic questions about where you are with kind of being generous and serving others in your community. And then those questions correlate with the chapters. So, for example, if it said something like, I know a person, I can list one person who doesn't have enough to eat. If you can't do that, then that points you to read the chapter about being generous with strangers. So this little survey correlates with everything in the book. So that's one thing I really like. And because this book was really written, it was written by me, but by my family. My husband wrote a letter to the dads because a lot of times I feel like women, we get these ideas and we want to run with them, but men are such processors. And so my husband talks a little bit about that in the book as well. And then my daughter, who was 10 at the time, she wrote a list of quality time activities that kids actually want to do. And that goes along with the chapter about being generous with your time. And so she lists a ton of activities that are hilarious because they're from the kids' point of view. Like one of them is make a snowman and dress her up like Taylor Swift. But there are all these really silly ideas that just came from her. As far as resources that I just discovered on my own, some of my favorites are listed in the book. One is called Start a Snowball, and that is a nonprofit organization that gives grants to kids who have big ideas to help people, but they don't have any money to do it. And the application process is really simple. And I've known probably 5 people who have received grants from them. And so just a really neat organization. So that's one, Start a Snowball. And another resource I mentioned in the book is called Charity Navigator, which is an online tool to help people see kind of how their favorite nonprofits measure up and what they do with their money and how transparent they are. And then another one I think that would be applicable for a lot of military families is the hands-on network, because it links families up with projects wherever they are across the United States. And so it will say you can put how many miles you would like to, travel, and it will find projects near you.
Well, it's great that that you have things that people can look at and to help them. Because I know so many times, for me anyway, I want to do something, but I don't know where to go, and I don't know how to find, what might be out there and what might be something that I could get involved in. So it sounds like that.
Oh, my gosh. And it can be so overwhelming. And I think that's where a lot of families sit, is they would like to do something, but they're kind of like, what would be age appropriate for my kids, and what's going to fit where we are with this stage of life and with our schedule.
Yeah. Well, switching to kind of a little bit more of a personal question, and you may have already answered this, but for you, what was the hardest thing about writing the book?
I mean, hands down, the hardest thing about writing the book was living it, because if it was a book about, vampires or something, I wouldn't have to worry about it or some fiction work. But I felt like this was the lesson our family was supposed to take away. This book was really for us. And so it was very hard to write and to live it. Also, part that was difficult for me is it was hard because a lot of times we met people and had interactions with people that were so personal that I didn't want to share them in the book, but they really had an impact. And so that was tough too, knowing what to put in and then just what to leave out.
Wow. Yeah. I imagine that you wouldn't really be able to write well if you weren't experiencing it. So I can see how that
right.
would be a difficult part of doing that.
Right. So once it started, it's like no turning back. This is something that you're committing to,
Yep, you just have to push on through it and get through that tough part. Switching topics again, do you have any resources which accompany your book?
Yes, at the end of every chapter, there's a section called Dinner Table Dialogue, and the intent of that is to stir up conversation at the dinner table. So it's just conversation starters, and those can be found in the book, but they can also be found on my website. They print out pretty easily. And at the end of every chapter, there are also ways to implement the chapter's theme in your home, in your community, and in the world. And so there are, for example, the chapter on forgiveness, there are ideas to bring forgiveness into your home, the community, and the world. And so it lays it out in that same format throughout every chapter.
Oh, that sounds like a really helpful resource for families, yeah.
I hope it is, and I hope it gives people just a place to start.
And it's so neat that this is a book for families. It could be read and implemented by an individual, but to bring families together to do this together is just a really neat aspect, I think. And I went on your website and watched the YouTube video that you had up there, and it is great.
Oh, yeah.
It is great.
Very high tech, isn't it?
Well, it was just really neat because it just showed the message of the book, but it just made it so clear that this is a family thing.
It is. I mean, and the hand-drawn pictures and all of it, and that's what I want it to be. That little video is funny, and so many people have asked, did your kids make that? And my kids did not make it, but it does look like that. And other resources that are in the book that I didn't mention, there is a huge list of online resources. So and with that, there are different online games that your kids can do. There is a book list, and there's also a prayer calendar that's in there.
Wow. Well, are you working on anything else now?
Yes, I am working on a project I'm super excited about. It's a picture book series entitled Gutsy Girls, and it's about strong Christian women who've impacted the world. And so there are 5 books in the series, and at this time there are only 2 released. The first one is on a missionary named Gladys Aylward, and the second one is on 2 sisters, Betsy and Corey Ten Boom. And I just feel like so many times we forget to tell our kids stories about the strong women, and instead we let media just kind of bombard them with everything, you know, about fallen starlets and basketball players, and they just toss so much. So I wrote Gutsy Girls to kind of combat that and to let the stories of strong women not be forgotten.
That sounds really, really, really awesome. I can't wait to get my hands on that and read it. So I'm excited. I'm excited already.
Well, good. I hope other people are too.
I think so. I think just based off of what some of our listeners are commenting, I think that people are excited to read it. So that's awesome. Well, for our listeners, can you tell them where to go to get a copy of your book and just to learn more?
Yes, absolutely. So the books are available at barnesandnoble.com, at Amazon, walmart.com just started carrying them, and then through my publisher, and the links to all of those can be found at my website at amielsullivan.com. I also wanted to just offer up to your listeners, I have about 20 copies of When More Is Not Enough, the ebook, that I would love to gift to any of your listeners. So if they direct message me on Twitter or message me via Facebook, I would be happy to send them a gift as just a thank you to you. You know, I think it's crazy that I'm on a show where talking about loving others in service, and that's what you do with your life. I mean, so I would like to thank you for doing that. Just a small token.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Amy. I know that they will all appreciate it. That's so awesome of you to do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you, Amy. That's very generous and kind of you, and we'll make sure that we let our listeners know how to get that if they're interested in that. And
yes,
thank you so much.
Message, either way, you're welcome. Yeah. Oh my goodness, I've enjoyed talking with you, and just appreciate what you're doing in the show. And thanks for letting me share.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to join us next week, August 29th, 2016. Our featured guest will be author Rachel Starnes, here to talk with us about her new book, The War at Home, A Life's Search for Peace and Other Missions Impossible. It's going to be another great show. You don't want to miss it. And in the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors. Or you can follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.